Chapter 42. The mood in Camp Ohio was already heavy by the time the hauler carrying Brody and the wounded arrived. Alexa set out to save the injured, working with the Boone's medics to operate on the most critical and using the remaining functional cryopods to keep alive those who might otherwise die waiting for help. Reach made the rounds of the camp, accompanied by Lieutenant Harmon and First Sergeant Nash. The Badgers were online and watching the skies, and the Rangers were all on alert. They didn't show their nerves, but they knew it was a matter of when, not if, more Rupak showed up. But for now, it was quiet. Reach left Harmon and Nash behind to go check in with Dr. Roman. He found the doctor in his lab, piecing Brody back together, though Ramirez was the one doing the heavy lifting. "How's it look, Doc?" Reach asked. Roman looked up from beneath his bushy eyebrows. "Oh, hello, Jared." He gestured for Ramirez to pick up a piece of the battle armor, a forearm loaded down with a belt of ammunition that fed from a massive drum inside the chest cavity. "Hold that up, would you?" Ramirez grunted and held the section in his arms. The strain on his face indicated it was far from light. "Want me to turn it over?" "Just hold it," Roman said, floating around the piece of armor and looking at it from every angle before spotting something on its underside. "Aha, there it is." He pried something from the armor. "You can set it back down now, Drew." Ramirez was admirably gentle in putting the thing down, then shook out his arms in relief when he was done. "You gonna be able to put Brody back together?" Reach asked. "We could sure use him." "Putting him together isn't the problem." The doctor held up the device he'd taken off Brody's armor. "This is."
"What is it?"
"It's what they use to shut Brody down. I believe its purpose is to disable electronic devices, like an EMP, but hyper-localized. Simply put, they shot these at Brody until he was unable to continue operating."
"Will it have any permanent effects?"
"I won't know until I reactivate him. And I can't do that until we find and remove them all." Roman turned to Ramirez.
"Where haven't we looked?"
The corporal frowned and glanced around.
"We've combed over every piece of armor we've got, as far as I can tell. And let's see if we're still getting interference."
Roman put the device in a box, picked up a tablet, and swept it across Brody's disassembled parts. "It's still. No flickering." Roman set the tablet down.
"Good. I guess we got them all. Let's turn him back on."
Roman began to manually reboot his systems.
"We had to connect him to a localized power source," he explained to Reach, nodding at a microgenerator. "He was completely drained."
Brody's eyes lit up a soft blue, and his voice came out low and quiet.
"Maybe they want to capture us and torture us to death."
Roman smiled.
"You're not captured, Brody. You're safe."
"Dad?"
"I'm here, Brody."
Did we kill all the commies?"
Roman looked to Reach for the answer.
"Mostly. A few surrendered."
"Ah, too bad. How did the others die? Was it painful? Was it bloody?"
He cocked his head.
"Is someone transmitting? I still got it."
Roman patted Brody's head.
"We're in Camp Ohio. There's no end to the transmissions."
"He's not stuttering," Ramirez noted.
"Say, you're right, citizen. That's something, ain't it? Crash land on Amir, start stuttering. Get kicked by a mule, they go back. I don't know."
"Glad to have you back, Brody," Reach said.
"Roger that, Texas Ranger. I'm hard to kill. Even while under siege and marked for death, anyone who tries is on deadly ground. No one is above the law when Brody is out for justice, citizen."
Ramirez raised an eyebrow.
"Are you just naming Steven Seagal movies?"
"Psh, no."
He paused.
"Maybe."
Roman chuckled.
"The stutter may be gone, but I'm glad to see that you're still the same Brody. Let's get you pieced back together, shall we?"
"Hey, Doc," Reach said, holding up a finger as though the real reason he'd come by was an afterthought.
Speaking of getting pieced back together, what's the story on Leanna? Is she?
She's fine, Jared, Roman said with a smile. I've opted not to wake her, given the uncertainty of recent events. Once things stabilize, she'll emerge from cryostasis as good as new. Better.
Thanks.
Reach left the lab, hearing Brody cry out,
I still got it,
once more behind him.
Despite the heavy mood in the camp, Reach felt hopeful. Leanna was going to be okay. They just had to deal with the Rupak threat, and then maybe things would settle down. Maybe life on Amir could truly begin. But not yet. They had to survive before they could live.
The next stop on Reach's rounds took him to the comms array, where Captain Bosa was monitoring the situation as Tex buzzed about the facility.
Someone find me Turner,
the captain said, nearly knocking over a cup of coffee he'd perched at the edge of his desk.
He knows he's supposed to be here, Captain, one of the techs said, but seems he's on watch, and no one has arrived to relieve him.
Send someone. Send Ramirez. Dr. Roman will have to do without him for a while.
Problems, Captain? Reach asked.
Just a few, Bosa quipped.
He looked even and calm, but the redness in his face betrayed his agitation.
We're receiving regular transmissions through the array.
From the Earth government?
Bosa nodded. They want the meeting now.
I thought that was another week. How did they get their people here that fast? And why not just show up if they're here?
Bosa held out an empty palm, showing all the answers he had.
They're persistent. Alexa is all that's on their minds, it would seem. A report of the Rupak attack has been completely ignored.
Captain, I don't need to point out how peculiar that is, especially given the circumstances of the attack and how singularly focused Rupak was on capturing Brody.
Believe me, I know it.
Bosa shook his head. What about the Ose? Have they agreed to consolidate to Camp Ohio?
Yes. Lieutenant Sherman was successful in conveying our request.
Good. That's good. Reach hesitated. He understood why Sherman was sent to Camp Muir for military relief and why Reach and Alexa were kept behind. At least he was willing to take Bosa's rationale at face value. But that didn't stop the pestering feeling that he was somehow being punished, especially now. Negotiating with the Ose was, or at least should have been, Reach's dominion, not Sherman's. He decided to voice his concern. Captain, why didn't you send me to speak with the Ose? Matters such as this are my stated purpose on this mission, after all. Bosa shrugged.
Sherman was the man on site, and I'm not interested in shuttling the two of you back and forth. He was convincing, or more to the point, the Rupak attack was. The Ose are preparing to evacuate now.
Already?
An attack like that, it creates some urgency. They'll bring essentials, and we'll ferry over their other goods later. Same plan as before, just an accelerated timetable. When they arrive, I want you coordinating the Ose. Lieutenant Sherman will follow in the Badgers and will be in charge of consolidating our forces here. I want to be able to keep Ohio defended while sending aerial and ground patrols looking for any more Rupak.
That would be a tall order, but Reach saw the wisdom in it. With both Alexa and Brody, plus the Rangers and all the Badgers, the Ose men could be mustered into a suitable defensive force. Unless Rupak was capable of hitting the base with missile strikes, the Badgers were unable to take down.
I'll get on it. Do we have an ETA on the first hauler's arrival?
30 minutes. It'll be non-stop once it's started.
Reach smiled.
All due respect, Captain, but it's been non-stop since we landed.
Bosa gave a nod.
Roger that.
Sorry, Doc, but they want me to relieve someone on watch, Ramirez said.
Roman looked down at Brody.
Well, we have Brody mostly assembled. I dare say he can help me with the heavy lifting that remains. But do hurry back when you're able.
Absolutely, Ramirez said.
Truth is, I'm enjoying this duty with you. And to think, I thought getting tied to an old man would be boring.
Roman smirked.
On your way, whippersnapper.
Outside, Ramirez adjusted his rifle on its sling and pinged Turner on the implant.
Hey, where are you? Captain wants me to relieve you so you can do something at the array.
Roger. I'm a half click east of Badger 1. How long until you get here?
Ramirez oriented himself.
5 minutes?
See you then.
When Ramirez reached the spot, he noticed that Turner was sweating and breathing heavily, and he seemed to be talking to himself.
You all right, man?
Yeah, panted Turner. Just feeling a little off.
You sick?
Maybe.
Ramirez unslung his rifle and looked around.
This is the spot?
Yeah, Turner said.
Why?
Just not the best outpost.
No fire support.
You're just a dude standing by the showers.
He nodded to the building partitioned into open showers and bathrooms. It was pretty basic, but it met their hygiene needs until the barracks and other buildings could be fully improved.
Blame it on Reach, Turner said. He's the one who set me up here. It's apparently positioned so that I can rapidly provide support to a few sectors and watch this stretch of the wire for activity.
Did the LT give it the okay?
Turner shrugged. Ramirez looked at his buddy with concern. The man looked like he was going to pass out. Ramirez reached out to feel Turner's forehead, only to have his hand slapped away.
Easy, Turner. Just wanted to see if you had a fever, not reach first base.
You need to go to the infirmary if you ask me, not the array. You're sweating.
And you were talking to yourself when I came up.
You heard that?
Yeah, I heard that.
You're not well, man.
Listen, seriously. You need to rest.
I'll get someone else out here to relieve me, and then I'll go see if I can figure out whatever it is they need at the array.
Turner nodded.
Okay, thanks, man. I'll do that. You're a good friend.
Ramirez turned to watch the perimeter, and was about to call in for relief at his post. Instead, he let out a feeble, gurgling cry as a knife plunged into his neck.